Is this embarrassing? Yes. Is it awkward? Yes.
No, bitch, it wasn't awkward until you made it awkward by saying awkward.
Ladies and gentlemen,
awkward.
Please. Social podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Awkwardly Social Podcast. My name is Jose Chavez. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. It's a solo episode, and I'm trying something a little different here. You won't notice it. Maybe you might audibly. I don't know. I'm recording out of my bedroom, but I have that giant like closet doors that are just pure mirrors, and I didn't factor this in when setting it up. So now I'm just staring at myself. I'm making eye contact with myself, and when I don't, I feel like I'm in a really rough social situation where I'm in front of somebody and trying to avoid eye contact. Also, I finally see what other people see. I'm very expressionless. I've been told that I don't emote much on the face. That's because I'm trying to save myself from getting wrinkles. That's not true. I just don't really notice it. It's all in the voice. So if you're listening to this, it sounds like if I'm a very animated person. But in person, I am very much not that. So now I'm aware, for those of you who have said something to me in the past, I apologize. I did not realize just how bad it is, but now I do know. At least I know that if it ever comes down to it, I could always get a job in like radio or voiceover work. So you won't have to see this face because it doesn't really match what's going on. So I've been busy in a very good way. I took some steps towards taking care of myself. So it's really hard to say because it parts of it is you have to compartmentalize a lot of yourself in terms of your ego, what you assume you're owed, and what you feel like you've been working towards. They're all sort of similar but not quite the same. So you can feel like you should be in a new level, a better job, a better career, better shape. There's always things that you think you should have accomplished by now or should be rewarded to you by now because of the fact that you have aimed towards something. So I started taking on more of the kind of work that I wanted to do, started doing a lot less of what I didn't want to do. And it's not always going to be the most fiscally responsible decision to make, but it is going to be the one that is going to be better for me. Part therapy, part medication, and part doing the things that you feel you should be doing is really a lot of the things that are going to help me out. So you should give that a try yourself. If you feel like you're not happy with where you are, if you're setting yourself up some plans to do something down the line, you have to take a chance at some point. Just saying, because it's you can plan for years and never execute, and the best you'll do is be a really prepared person that never gets what they want. So, just at some point you got to take a chance. That's what I got to say with that. Well, first of all, it's what, a week from Halloween. I will do one more scary story episode. I might throw something in at the end with this one, like a quick, short, scary story, but it's not really the focus of this episode. I've just been in a pretty good mood, very sort of energized because I started doing more of the stuff that I wanted to do. And it sounds very selfish. I'll say this much. I'm well aware of the fact that what I'm doing is really 100% for me. I mean, think of it this way. I am right now walking around in my sandals. I just got back from the gym. Went into the sauna, which I fucking love now. I just started doing that recently, and I was reading some of the health benefits that go along with it. Look into it. I suggest you give it a try. Go into a sauna when you go to the gym. Go in there for about 10 minutes, and you'll sweat out what you feel like are your toxins. They say that that's what you're actually doing. I don't know a whole lot about that, but it does feel pretty good when you step out. And it also helps with calming your muscles after a workout. I'm not getting buff here, guys. I'm just trying not to be as visible as I am right now. Right now I'm more of a landscape. I'm trying to go more portrait here. But you know, I did that, and then I came home and made myself a nice little lunch and recorded this episode. After this, I'm going to do some design work. You know, it's a weird sort of freedom that at the same time is very, like, it's not free because it's going to cost you. If you're going to spend more time doing what you want, you have to make sure that you make something out of it. Because if you don't, you're just essentially being lazy. You know, you can be a struggling artist for a long time, but eventually you have to put that art towards something. You know, one thing I'm working on right now is knowing my worth. I've been critical of others in the past who have been that kind of person who, well, not necessarily that they won't give their art away for free, but they will sort of prematurely know their worth. Like, they won't pay their dues. They won't go through the shit because they feel it's already owed to them, because they've already been told that they're good at it. They've already been told that they can do something, and then they suddenly they're owed. I used to produce a show, the one I used to talk about on here a lot, where I would do a free show for locals. No comic got paid. I would ask for money towards the end, like as a tip jar, and I would split it between myself and the comics evenly if there was anything there, throw a little bit towards the sound engineer, and that was it. And that, you know, but rarely was the case where we would get money, and even rarer than that would be, I guess not rarer than that, it's not possible, but very rarely would I ask for the tips itself. It was really meant to be a free show. I hit someone up and I said, hey, I know you've been doing comedy for a while now, and I didn't say it quite in these words, but I knew that, you know, I was there at one of their first shows a couple years prior. Offer them a spot on the show, saying, you know, I would like for you to do a show. It's, you know, out in the valley, not too far. And their response back was mostly just, how much does it pay? How much time do I get? I let them know the time they get and what money they would be making, which would be none. Explain the situation in terms of how it's just a free show. It's meant for the locals. I produced it in a show in an area where there was no nightlife and there wasn't a whole lot of people that were willing to or even capable of spending money at a comedy club and doing the 2-drink minimum. So this was very much my way of saying, let me bring something to you so you can have this experience. And as a result, a lot of those people started going to actual comedy shows. And that was, you know, kind of the end game. And their response was sort of just, I'm sorry, I can't do the show another time, but it pretty much saying, I won't do it for free. I know my net worth. And which is kind of like, you could be funny, but there's too many people out there that are funny. I mean, I think I'm okay. I think I've made some people laugh. If you haven't turned off this episode yet, that means I'm either kind of interesting or, you know, at least okay. But, you know, there's some value to me. So I know that when I get on stage, I make people laugh, but I'm not going to walk off and be like, pay up. I'm capable of making 12 to 200 people laugh at this, you know, all at once. And it's over time. Yes, you should definitely, especially when there's notoriety to your name. But not 2 years in, you know, they say you got to put in 10,000 hours. In 10,000 hours, you are losing about $10,000, just being honest. So, and it's not an exact calculation, but let's put it this way. 10,000 hours of comedy. So that means anything you want to do, you have to spend 10,000 hours doing it. So that means you get on stage 6 minutes at a time, then 8 minutes and 10, 12, so on and so on, until you build up the ability to be able to have longer performances, more material, sharper material. And it's not always going to be great, but a lot of those shows you're not going to get paid for. Sometimes you'll be lucky if you put in work to, say, make a flyer or sell some tickets or you know, something along those lines, where you do make a little bit of money, but the amount of time you spend on it, it doesn't always add up. So I do 10,000 hours. For each minute, I am losing a dollar. You know, it's, I guess it wouldn't be a minute. I guess it would be per hour. But each hour I'd be losing, you know, like a dollar's worth of money. Because they're like, okay, you're going to do a show. I want you to promote it. So I spend days, you know, hitting up people, making flyers, passing out flyers, doing all this work for 10 minutes, and maybe I'll get paid. Maybe I won't. More than likely, I won't. Or I'll get drink tickets. And then you got to pay for the tips and for the gas and all that. So you, overall, you build a debt within your ambition. And I get it. Eventually, you start telling yourself, I can't be doing this for free forever, which is fucking true. There are some people that get, you know, they cut the line in careers because it's not meant to be fair, nor is it meant to have a minimum of. Some people can figure it out right away. Some people have that natural instinct to be able to already do something, so they can bypass a lot of it. Sometimes it's even just solely based on aesthetic, which is completely honest. But with all that being said, you have to at least have some sort of a, I understand that I have a bit of a value to me, but because so many other people have just as much value to me, I should do something for just a little bit less, which I do quite often. You know, I'm doing a taping this weekend in Ventura Harbor. Is it going to be a high-paying gig? Goodness, no. I'm doing it because it's good for me. It's a good way to promote myself. It's a good way to promote the podcast. It's a good way to put myself out there in a way that can down the line be more lucrative. But you kind of have to cut back a little bit here and there. But right now I am getting to the point where I'm starting to tell myself I at least know my worth, especially for design. I put it out there recently telling people like, look, if you still owe me for some kind of work that I did for you, as of right now, you owe me nothing. You know, there's some people out there that owe me, but it's been so long that I was too kind in giving them an opportunity to sort of save up. And I've done that courtesy because people have done that courtesy for me. If I've ever needed a loan or some help, I wasn't able to take care of something right away. I can't have a standard of saying, no, you have to pay me now if I'm not going to be able to then turn around and pass that along to another person, which I have tried to do, by the way. I have tried to be a little more strict with it, but it's very hard to get comics to pay up. And so, you know, but now anybody who hasn't paid their debt, they no longer will be getting work from me. You know, they will no longer be getting stage time or artwork. It's something where I'm starting to put my foot down on my value because I have already put in 10,000 hours. I have already put in a bunch of work and effort into the things that I do. This is not me saying things in a very sort of braggy way. And if it comes out that way, I apologize. But what I'm trying to do right now is everything I said about me, now say that about yourself. Tell yourself how much work have you done? How much effort have you put into what you're doing? And how much of it is being appreciated? How much of you is going to be rewarded? Because people aren't going to walk around talk about how much, I mean, some people might do it about how much you've done for them, which is great. If you're being a charitable person, that's fine. Feel free to donate as much of your time as you want. If you want to be charitable and kind and you're trying to be helpful and it's the kind of show like the one I used to put together where nobody makes money and it's mostly for the audience, that's fucking amazing. Do that kind of thing. But if somebody else is lining their pockets with money from your efforts, that's when you should definitely look into it and be like, hey, I would like a little bit of something out of this. And it's really hard because especially out here in LA, because so many people are willing to do something for free that the moment you start asking for something, that's when you start losing the bookers and stuff like that. So you have to make yourself indispensable. I'm not going to throw out comedy advice because I'm the guy that will walk into a comedy club, have three words to say, and then peace out because I feel uncomfortable. So I'm not the person to brag about this kind of stuff. You know what? Hold on. Let me grab this microphone right here. I'm going to take the mic off of the stand. Like I said, I have a different setup here. If you've ever done customer service, one thing they try to tell you is put a mirror in front of yourself so you can see your expressions, so you can see what you look like. This allows you to be able to tell what is sort of going on because the person on the phone can't tell what you look like. But when you see yourself, you can tell, okay, there's more emotion here. There's more going on here. There's something I need to emphasize on, and it helps. Now, I make very little expression, but I become more self-aware of the way that I'm speaking. I think this episode is pretty much a point of it because I've done almost no pauses in here, and usually I do at least three or four by now. So that is something that I have been working on. One thing I did want to touch on, and I put this out there on Instagram through those stories, asking people what they would do if they won the lotto. Because I put real thought into this over the weekend, because right now it was at $1.6 billion. I assume it's going to go much higher than that. I don't think anybody won it yet. But $1.6 billion for the lotto, that is insane. What would one do with that kind of money? And I created a couple scenarios of like, what would I do with this? Hypothetically, bought a house, got a car, you know, paid off the parents' debt, got the parents a house, gave each of my siblings money, like minimum like $150,000 each, and just kind of starting off from there and then building up because they're going to get more. But for now, just to sort of get them on the right track and stuff and such, you know, pay off the debts and find or organizations, nonprofits that I would feel like would be a worthy cause, you know, donating to organizations that help pay or take care of legal fees for people trying to become citizens, things along those lines, even start my own organization and everything I sort of tallied up to see and even threw in a couple of not even extravagant, but just things like, oh, I would, you know, decorate a room with comic book stuff and fill the house with furniture and all that came out to, in my wildest dreams, in my wildest, what would I do with this stuff? About $6 million. $6 million would take care of the issues that my family has, or the not the issues, but the, you know, just the immediate fiscal responsibilities of my family that would make life just so much better for them. And that's it. I wouldn't know what to do with $1 billion, because the cash out, I think, is over 900 million. And if you were to do the, you know, payments over time, then it'd still be about a little over $1 billion, about 300 and something thousand a month, or a year. So that is an insane amount of money, and who would want that? Like, I mean, I guess everybody would want that, but I wouldn't know what to do with that. And I put it out there asking people, what would you want to do? What would you do? What would be the thing you would invest in? A lot of them were very sort of simple. You take care of my parents' debt, buy my parents a house, take care of my own debt, take care of medical bills for sick relatives, which were all very sort of very noble. Then I stepped it up and I said, what would you do? What's an extravagant thing you would do? A lot of plastic surgery, apparently. A lot of people would do plastic surgery. One guy talked about getting breast implants. If that was his thing, fine. I'm not judging. But I don't know if he was being serious or if he was just joking around because he thinks that men getting breasts is hilarious. I don't know. But either way, a lot of people for their extravagant stuff would be that. One of the ones I really liked was buy a house, get a dog, and take care of the dog. Which is, or, you know, adopt a dog, not buy a dog, but adopt a dog. And I was so into that because of the fact that I recently tried to get a dog. I tried to rescue a puppy from the area where I was working at, and it wasn't even a puppy, it was just a small dog. But it was so friendly and so fun, but just so terrified of people because it had to have had some kind of a history of abuse based off of how it responded to people, but at the same time was very playful. So it would want to play with you, but at a distance. That led me to think, you know, I am ready to adopt a dog to be able to play with. I have more free time now, and I have the ability to be able to take it with me to a lot of places that I go to. So there would be benefits in having a dog, but that means I have to clean the yard, a lot of work. Many steps. That's another thing. Steps, you guys. When you have, I did this to myself. I gave myself a little bit of an anxiety attack while I was at the gym today. I had to call one of the guys that I was doing a design gig for, and was explaining to him an idea that I had for it. And while this was going on, I had to think to myself, okay, when I get home, I'm going to do that. But first, I told myself I was going to write a letter to my brother and send it to him. Okay, I got to write that letter. But then I also told myself I had to do this bit of laundry, and also had to run and do some errands here and there. And then I need to record this podcast and all these things that I wanted to do. And I started sort of beating myself down and having a little bit of an anxiety because I have the time now to be able to do it. But at the same time, I have a lot of things that I'm tasking myself with to do in a short period of time rather than sort of spreading it out, or at least sort of organizing it. And organization is definitely something I'm going to have to try to make a good effort in. It's times like these I wish I had like an assistant or something. But I'm going to make that effort. But it you have to break your stuff down a little bit more. You have to sort of give yourself not just deadlines, but one of the things I've noticed for myself and for other people that I've had the chance to really talk about this kind of stuff has just always been there's too much to do and not enough time to do it in, or you spend too much time dwelling on what you have to do that you don't actually get anything done. And all both of these these are all very similar factors in that come around quite often. So you have a day to do something, and you have five things to do in that day. Each one of those things can be knocked out in under an hour. That's only 5 hours. You're only awake for, let's just say, 12 hours. But you spend so much time thinking about the things that you have to do that it actually slows down your progress. So those five things that you thought that you had to do, you won't be able to have enough time to do all of them, so you only do three. And then those two things get pushed to the next day, and then they get done eventually, and then or they never get done, and you just sort of accept that, like, this is never going to happen. That happens quite often. Give yourself one thing to do. If you can't do everything, if you know yourself well enough to say, there's no way I can do all these things, then just give yourself one thing to do and tell yourself, just do that one thing. Don't do anything else until you do that thing. And you know what I mean by anything else. I mean the time wasters. I didn't have to go to the gym today. I wasn't even that super productive, you know, when I was there. I did it just because I felt bad about the way I'd been eating and drinking lately. And I owed it to myself to just go for at least an hour or so. And I did. And I didn't have to. I could have done something way better than that. I could have done two of the assignments that I had given myself, and instead I did something like this, which is still good for me. It's still something I needed to do, but it's, you know, I could have prioritized it a little bit better. Now, all these things sort of bouncing around make it really hard for me to do all those things. So I told myself, okay, when I get home, the only thing I'm going to focus on is recording that podcast, which I'm doing now. And in the back of my head, every now and then I distract myself because I come up with a new idea for the illustration, or I come up with a new idea for a project, and then also trying to line up some more production gigs. So I'm doing all these things, and my brain is trying to multitask between all these things. So really what I keep trying to process is just saying, shut the fuck up, brain. Do this one thing that you're literally in the middle of doing right now. And that's going to be that's an exercise in itself. Because you have to, multitasking is a great thing when you can multitask well. If you have hiccups or hangups about doing several things at once, then you have to teach yourself how to just do one thing. Do that one thing and do it well. And then from there, figure out the next thing and then do that thing well. And if you can't figure that one out, then set it aside and go do something else. It sounds easier, and it's, you can't just say it's that easy, because on paper everything sounds fucking simple and easily resolvable. Going back to the issue about having five things to do and each one takes less than an hour, that's an assumption. I don't know how long it could take. This episode right now is going to be under half an hour by the time I'm done, but if I had a lot to say, it probably would have gone on a lot longer. If I had on a guest, it would take definitely longer, and then the time to put shit away, to set something else up, to do things, like, there's a lot of little variables, and then even just a moment to clear your head. All that stuff can add extra time and things that you don't think about, because there's a human element to all your tasks. So that's why do less if you can't do more. Just that is, you know, a thing that you can consider. Let's see here. What is this thing? I want to work on this. I'll take the details. Yes. Oh, hell yeah. Guess who just got himself a confirmation for a gig? That would be me. Yay. Very happy about that. Okay, so getting back to it. See, look, I just tried to multitask. And as soon as I got that message confirming a gig, I completely got distracted about what I was doing right now. And I'm pretty sure I was talking about multitasking. But yes, do less if that helps you do more. That is something you can walk away with, give that some thought or whatever. So I have been a bad boy, not like a fucking naughty person or some shit, but like I haven't been very good at the things that I've been doing lately, specifically eating healthier and all that stuff. I did a lot of eating and drinking in the last week, found myself doing more shows, going out more, and having some, you know, drinks in the process. And I feel myself very puffy and swollen right now, and it feels very uncomfortable. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to go hit the sauna and the gym and all that, and cutting back the sugars and the alcohol until I sort of get to a comfortable position again. Once I'm there, I will proceed, whatever. I put it out there just on my Facebook, and somebody who I met, which is really funny how I met her, because it was 100% the result of a stranger giving another stranger a ride, hitchhiking. It was hitchhiking. And I gave this person a ride. I gave her a ride. I say person. I just won't name her name. But she was, it was like literally the middle of the night. And she looked like somebody who should not have been out as late as she was. So I offered to pay for her lift or give her a ride, because she was waiting for a bus that was not going to be coming around again. And I gave her a ride four blocks over. And in that time, we had a brief conversation. I handed her my business card to let her know, hey, I'm not a bad guy, which I could have easily just given her somebody else's business card. But I gave her my business card. I said, I'm a comic. I was just coming back from a club. I can give you a ride down to this street. That's as far as I'm going to be going before I hop on the freeway. So she said, that's actually the area I need to get to. And so I gave her a ride. It was a little more than four blocks. She could have walked out that lazy. No, but so I gave her a ride. And it was sort of brief, and then she followed me because I gave her the business card, and we kept in contact a little bit. And her boyfriend, you know, seemed like good kids. You know, they're in their 20s, so they're going to seem like kids to me. I'm only 34, but at the moment you're like 29, you're still a child. I'm progressively getting more and more exhausted talking to children, you know. And then I put something out there about trying to be more active, and, you know, and she and I had a conversation about going for a run, that she started doing that as well. And she gave me advice, and this is where I'm going to say I was 100% a dick. I could have handled the conversation a little better. I was a little distracted and a little bit in my head. So in the process, she's giving me advice. And as a person who loves to walk, who would brag about, which is 100% true, it was bragging. I can admit that now, where I'll talk about, oh, I used to, you know, walk from my place to my cousin's place 5 miles over just so I could hang out with them. And I enjoy doing that very much. I still do really long walks. You know, if my car broke down or something and I needed to walk from one city to the other, or get from one city to the other, I would rather walk it than, you know, hop on a bus or pay somebody to drive me. So I know, you know, patience and breathing and all the things I need to do. And that came off as me being very much like, oh, I know that. So she was giving me pointers on, you know, when you're running, I like to focus on my breathing in and out, just focusing on it, controlling it. And that's a way that really sort of helps me focus on getting longer distances. And my response was very much like, oh, yeah, I know that. I do that. I mean, that, or I listen to music because music distracts me. And the way I'm giving it back to you now on this episode, I'll say this much. It wasn't quite as kind as I said it now, and it was through text, so it wasn't necessarily meant to be more harsh at all. But I read it back, and her response back was like, I get it, I'm preaching to the choir, which I realized, like, oh, she heard it the way that I wrote it, and I didn't read it the way that I wrote it, because I didn't think of it in such a sort of callous way. So I had to go back and apologize and say, I'm really sorry that it came off that way. This is not what I meant at all. And as sort of a sorry, which I, you know, I apologized. I didn't want to be like, oh, here's free tickets to my show, please come out sometime, because that's really me doing something more for me. I tried her method. I gave it some, I focused on my breathing instead of my music. You know, it did help with that, or it did give me an alternate option of something to focus on. And I was okay, you know, and it was good, and it felt good, and I understood what she was going for. And I always sort of understood, but it was very sort of selfish of me to just kind of respond to it in the way that I did. So now I know not to be that way, not to be so harsh for no reason. And now I am more aware of what needs to be, how I need to respond to things. Because even if you have knowledge on something and someone else is coming into it, there's always like this thing of, you know something, you know more than this other person, so you're going to have a bit of a tone to yourself, and you can't help it. Work on that. That's something I know I for sure need to work on. All right, I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up right there. I left myself a note, and then I erased a note with my ideas of things I wanted to talk about, because I said, oh, I'm pretty sure I covered all that. The only thing I didn't erase was this thing, and I don't know if I said it or not, but I'll throw it out there anyhow. So this is, I hope I don't sound like a person that's trying to create like an inspirational quote, because that's not at all what I want to do. But this is a truth that I'm aware of, or at least something that I'm realizing. A person who expects to succeed either hasn't failed enough or isn't prepared enough to fail again. I think, you know, there's something there. Maybe not, who knows? But take it from that what you will. You know, you have the opportunity to do something for yourself. And if you assume that you're going to automatically get it right or succeed in it, then that means you have a long way to fall. You know, you sort of need to prepare yourself for that. And if you fall, that's totally fine. Because it's easier to get yourself back up than you think. You sort of have to get out of your own way, but it's a lot easier. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to tell one story. It's not really a ghost story, but it's kind of a funny sort of Halloweenish kind of story. Do you guys remember the Chupacabra? The goat sucker. The character or the fictional thing that turned out to be possibly real, but not in the same way. It was like more of a rabid dog than it was a fictional or a mystical creature kind of thing. And this, you know, at the time we thought it was going to be this alien sort of monstrous thing. I remember I used to draw them all the time. My cousins and I, while living, were staying with my cousins. They lived in this haunted house that I've referenced on here before. A woman, a grandmother, murdered her family by setting the house on fire and trapping them in there, but only succeeding in killing her daughter and her granddaughter. So there's always a bunch of weird activity there. And we thought for sure we were going to trap something because my aunt in the backyard had had chickens for laying eggs. And she had this like hen house there, and we were always trying to, you know, I don't know. We thought that for sure that the chupacabra was going to come and get these chickens because of all the stories that you're hearing about them being sucked dry, having their blood sucked out like a vampire. And we decided to lay out a trap. We dug a hole. We dug a hole pretty deep. I would say about maybe 3 or 4 feet deep, which is substantial for kids who were idiots and usually give up on things halfway through. So we dug this hole pretty wide, pretty deep, and then we did the thing where we put branches and stuff over it, and then we covered it up, and then we put dirt over it. Some of the dirt we shoveled out, we kind of caked it around and over it so that way it would sort of blend in. And then we said to ourselves, all right, we're going to come back at night, and we're going to keep an eye out to see if we can catch this thing. So we had flashlights, everything ready to go. While we were waiting around, there's shadows moving around in the dark. And usually when that happens, it's because either a child is going to fucking walk through the wall, which, by the way, is scary as shit to see, because it doesn't 100% have a form, and it doesn't 100%. It's like you see it and you don't all at once. It almost feels like you're watching it through yourself in a memory. The logistics of it don't. It can't be processed by our brains, or at least it couldn't be processed by mine. So that kind of stuff kind of freaked us out, and we said, you know what, screw it, we're not going to go outside. And we stayed inside and watched the movie, totally forgot about this hole. And then our uncle, God bless him, this guy had he was abandoned out in the desert when he was being brought over illegally, resulting in a series of health problems, but he also had a tough time sleeping, so he would do all of the cleaning in the middle of the night. And then we just hear this loud ruckus outside because we forgot about this thing and we're asleep. Then you just hear like a sound and we're like, oh shit, the chupacabra is here. And we hear our uncle going, cabrones, just like yelling at us in Spanish, like, you fucking idiots, what are you doing? What the hell is this? Get me out of here. And we like are laughing and also terrified all at once, laughing because it wasn't planned and we were sort of relieved that it wasn't this mythical creature out to kill the chickens, and also terrified because, well, you know, we were going to get in trouble. And this guy was, I loved him. He was a good dude, but we were kids and we were kind of assholes and we didn't really respond or share that emotion very much. So there was very little guilt from my cousins. I think I probably felt the most guilt out of everybody. It doesn't really help though, because none of us were brave enough to go outside in the middle of the night to go help him out because we were worried about getting our asses handed to us. That's not really a scary story, but it's kind of a funny one, and we thought that there was going to be a monster, and we acted accordingly. But that's the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to share something scary or funny, something Halloweenish, doesn't have to be ghost, but just something weird or creepy, we'll do. Email me, josechavezcomedian@gmail.com. Follow me on the social medias at I am Jose Chavez. Let's see here, awkwardlysocialcomedy.com. I don't know, all that fun stuff. Oh, yeah, and this Saturday, if you listen to this around the time that it comes out, Saturday, I am going to be at the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club. That's going to be October 27th. A good friend of mine, Phil Medina, is going to be putting together this this taping. He's going to be taping my stand-up, something I think it's going to go online. I have no idea where it's going. I'm just doing this thing, getting paid to do it, and it's going to be fun. But it's being brought to you by Nobody's Fool, which is a new Tiffany Haddish movie available in theaters November 2nd. They're going to be promoting or sponsoring this thing, so it's going to be a good time. Come out if you want to. I will be more than happy to set you up with some tickets. You just got to pay them for them drinks, and then watch me be silly and goofy on stage. Y'all take care. Again, at I am Jose Chavez for Instagram, Snapchat, Venmo, if you want to throw me some money. No, I'm just kidding. But no, follow me if you want to. If not, no worries. Y'all take care.